Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Baby.
It's time to ask her.
Did you ever Herbie Lawrence sighting at all today?
I did see him today.
Yeah,
he was down a couple booths.
Where you can seek advice from the Score's very own Herb Lawrence.
Usually when I'm having sex lately, I have to close my eyes and I think of other women. What's wrong with it? Is that good or is that bad or what am I doing?
I have no problem with that at all. It's not a natural thing to get married.
Herb Lawrence.
You best not wear the Cubs hat at a Hawks game.
670 The Score's personal life coach.
No grown man to wear a t-shirt jersey.
Everyone needs a life coach.
I enjoy any time I get on the air and to give unabashed advice to these people. Let's go.
Herb Lawrence, a.k.a. The Realness.
I call big girls Avis. They try harder.
No topic is off limits.
Never had sex with a dude. Still think that's bad for me.
Ask Herb.
Sunday's my day. I want to sit there. I want to watch the Bears. Herb, this is big. Help me.
On Saturday, this is me and you, baby. Saturday, me and you's day. Sunday, that's on me.
Ask her.
Baby.
Only during the People's Hour with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Ask her.
Layla Rahimi last week breathed some life, that's right, into the segment. So we thought that we'd bring it back and we'd see how it goes. Herb Lawrence is here to answer your questions. 312. Yeah, that's right. 312-644-6767. If you want to text us, 670-11. See, here's the thing, Tony. I mean, I know you're a better sound guy than I am, but I'm going to offer you a tip now, all right? Now play the Layla.
Ask Herb.
It has to be alone. It can't be over the music bed because it doesn't have the same thing. It's got to live and breathe on its own. It's its own thing. It's solid, though. I'm glad she did it. And when I said, I need you to do it clean, and she did it, boom. That'll live forever. As long as Herb's here, that will live forever.
I will not live forever.
Well, that will live forever, like fame.
Okay.
312-644-6767. Herb Lawrence is here to answer your questions. We got all sorts of stuff via text. 670-11. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. Herbie, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me again, Lawrence.
And we got some people from the business who are actually texting you questions too, which is crazy. All right, let's start with Pete in Deerfield. Hey, Pete, you're on Ask Herb. What's your question?
No, thanks a lot, Lawrence. I'm wondering if Herb can retell the story of how HL and LH first got connected with one another and what Herb's initial impressions of Lawrence were and what the working relationship was going to be like. I also don't know the backstory to the Dolphin soundbite, but that's beside the point. I will hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
I don't know the backstory either. Either somebody else played it by mistake. I think Joe was doing the board. Usually when I left the studio, I was doing the board for Lawrence's show when it first started. And then, well, Tanny was, then me. And then Joe had to switch over from executive to running the board. And I just think he was just playing things.
I feel like this was towards intern Kathy's run on the show as well, because she gave us the I'm classy, bro.
Yes. I think that's still in there.
I'm sure it is. The I'm classy, bro sound drop. And then Joe would, for some reason, just added the Dolphin in too.
Yeah. If you look under Holmes tab, you have Kathy Limanowski, Tony.
Not anymore. Married now.
She's married now, yeah. But that's the artist, if you want to listen. I want to hear that again. I haven't heard that in a long time.
I mean, her accent is so hardcore.
Yeah. I met Lawrence back in the bunker. 1160. Scores 1160. I got hired in 2000. Lawrence was already there. I remember it was me, and then Derek Purvis was in promotions, and Lawrence. And then, of course, Jiggets and Tommy. So that was us. I mean, if I go through the whole thing, it'd probably be, what, LaShawn in the front?
Yeah.
Maybe Eric Beverly.
Yeah, he was still here when you got here, right?
Hood. Man, we were black as hell back then. Damn. We were deep.
I mean, Ron Gleason gets an award from the NAACP.
Yeah, we were deep. Now it's a couple of us. I don't remember, like, specific day when I met you. I think I remember you. I think I met you as a part of you and Melissa.
Yeah.
So, like, I think I met you guys at the same time. Like, you guys were going out or, like, starting to go out. I don't
Maybe.
Know. Yeah. So, that was, if you guys don't know Melissa.
White Panther.
White Panther, his wife.
Yes.
So, they worked at the station together. And I was like, Lawrence is a person that's worked here, and I heard his voice. I remember the first time I heard Lawrence was on the Les Grobstein show, because Lawrence had to sometimes talk a lot, because Les had other things he was doing, like driving in from Indy or driving in from Detroit or sleep. One of those three things. Sorry, letting people behind the curtain.
That's totally possible.
But
that
Les was, like I said, back in the day, if you listen to the House of L podcast, Les used to drive from Indianapolis or nearby Midwest cities after covering a game and then do the overnight show.
Imagine this. Imagine that there's a game tonight in Indianapolis. Les would be there.
Yes.
If there, let's say the Bulls and the Pacers were playing tonight in Indianapolis, he would be there. He would cover the game, and then he would drive back here. And back then, the show started 1.
Yeah.
He would get on the air at 1 o'clock until 5:30 in the morning.
Yes.
That's how Les used to roll back in the day. So if you were his producer, like I was, like Herbie was, Tony, you did a shift on Les's show, right?
Yeah, I had it for a while.
Yeah. You had to be ready for that. And back then, there was also the issue of production.
Oh, man.
On Les's show. And so when I became his producer, I just kind of took over the production from him because he was always in such a rush that he would manually stop a reel-to-reel instead of hitting the stop button. Like, the sound quality would be trash. So you're like, don't do that. Let's do this instead.
I'm classy, bro.
That's right, intern Kathy. The best. Absolutely the best.
And so, yeah, that's why I first heard Lawrence. And I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I heard his voice. I was like, I know, he's not one of us. So I want to do that. He's a little more educated than I am. But if he can do it, if Hood can do it. I don't know if Jason was there precisely when I got there, but he was around my time. And so I was like,
Yeah, Jason's your draft class, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's when I first heard Lawrence. And I met him 2000, I think. Like Lawrence always says, like, it wasn't a thing where I think he got shunned by some other people above him at the time. And so he wanted to, like, look back to us and say, okay, you guys are coming up. This is how we do it. And, follow me or not. Either way, I'm going to show you the ropes. And if you do it, cool, let's go. If you don't, I'm going to leave it by the wayside. Some people didn't listen to Lawrence. I was definitely listening to Lawrence and what he was saying, and he brought me up, and I'm still here.
He is still here, and that's for good reason. He knows what he's doing, and
he's great. What you're saying?
Lift as you climb.
There, that thing.
It's a motto. It's how I feel about the business. That's the way it should go. I feel like people should lift as you climb. Andre says, Herbie, do you think Illinois goes bowling next football season? If yes, are you going to go to the bowl game?
100% they're going bowling. No, I'm not 100% going to that bowl game, because it might be in, like, Shreveport, which I'm good for, Memphis, or any crappy bowl.
So, in other words, you're not going to go unless they go to a great bowl game?
Yes, unless it's warm and sunny. Why am I leaving Chicago to go and see a 6-6 team, which that's what I predict, 6-6, lose to some other garbage team in Shreveport? I'm great.
But
or Detroit.
Okay, well, Detroit, I understand. But
they go back to San Diego. They're in the Holiday Bowl somehow.
There you go.
I'm instantly there. What? Firstly, San Diego. Secondly, that's like at the end of the year.
Let's see. Let's San look Diego. At, I'm going to look up the Big Ten Bowl games and see if we it, what is the lowest
Pinstripe Bowl, New York, probably. I'm trying to think of the last bowl that you can go through. I remember it used to be the Detroit Bowl. I think they got out of the Detroit Bowl. I think it's called the Quick Lane Bowl now. And I don't think the Big Ten's got a tie in there.
I'm gonna find these so we can go through the list and see how far you would go.
Yes, but the Illini are definitely going to a bowl game next year. If they do not go to a bowl game next year, Lovie Smith should be fired on the spot. As soon as they cannot win or not get into a bowl game, he should be fired on the spot.
Red Box Bowl, Santa Clara, California.
We've already been there.
Quick Lane Bowl is in Detroit.
Is that still a Big Ten tie-in?
Yeah, this year was Minnesota and Georgia Tech.
Ugh, no.
So you said Pinstripe, so you're not good on that.
I mean, Santa Clara is far enough away from San Francisco that it's different, but I spent 2 weeks in San Francisco, and I was good.
You're unbelievable.
It's cold. It's overpriced.
It is overpriced.
There's not a really great food item. Oh, Herb, you eat the sourdough bread. Oh, what this seafood they have there? No, San Francisco's overrated. Oakland, on the other hand, loved it. Excellent.
Wine country.
Yes. Santa Clara is what, like an hour away. But the one good thing about San Francisco, the BART system. Their public transportation, top notch. You know, Brendan McCaffrey right now calls me a public transportation snob because I hated St. Louis because they're garbage and Cleveland because they're garbage. And then I forgot which other one. San Diego's public transportation is also garbage. So when you go to an actual good city, especially on the West Coast, with a good public transportation, you take note. Seattle also not that great.
So Nashville would be out for you? Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl?
I'm good for that one. Let's do it.
All right, so if the Illini make the Music City Bowl, you're going to go.
I'm in, yeah, because...
So Music City Bowl, let's say that's the floor.
Yes. The show at Master of None did a Nashville show, like their fifth episode in their first season, and it sold me on Nashville.
I've actually really liked Nashville when I've gone.
I want a honky-tonk when I get down there.
Well, there's also like great food and good music.
Tickler's White Barbecue.
You can go hang out with Jay Cutler and be on his show. You can do that.
Go to a Predators game if they let me in with my Illinois license.
They won't. What about the Heart of Dallas Bowl? I think that's the 10th bowl that the Big Ten can tie into.
I think they played in that versus Baylor back in the day, kicked RG3's ace. Yeah, I might go there.
Okay, so we're going to set the floor at the Music City Bowl. So there's your answer to the question. We need to take a timeout. We will come back. Wait, Tony, how should I do this? Because we got Dave at 8:30. So how should I do this? Should I break now?
No, you should just take me until 25.
All right.
Long segment. You're good.
All right, one long segment. Okay, good. All right, so let's see. What other questions? 224 Texter says, Herbie, what do you think of Cody Parkey?
What I think of him?
Yes.
I think he's a middle-of-the-road kicker that didn't cost the Bears that game. His last kick that he missed was bad. He shouldn't be on the team anymore. But way too many people, as we discussed in the first second hour, give him blame for the loss, where there's over 150 plays to be in a game where you can't just say one play cost them the game. It came down to, and I put those in quotes, that kick. But they lost that game way before that. Giving up way too many opportunities to score. You said it, I think, last week, where they found that Maddox guy was jumping routes early, and they didn't exploit that into the fourth quarter with Robinson. They could have been doing it much earlier, and not enough adjustments by Matt Nagy. So Cody Parkey shouldn't be on this team anymore, but it's not his fault that they lost that game.
We're in the middle of Ask Herb. That's Herb Lawrence. We do a segment with him once a week. You get to ask him questions. He gives you answers. John writes, Machado signs with the White Sox for blank years and blank dollars? Question mark.
Firstly, I'm on the negative side of the White Sox fan base. I've been pasted as a pessimist of the White Sox fans. My guy Ryan McGuffey, Chuck, Garfine, other people are more positive. White Sox Dave, more positive guys. I don't think he's going to sign with the White Sox. I will gladly eat my words and call Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams the best people of all time, the best negotiator of all time, if they pull off this. I do not think he is serious about the White Sox. I think he is playing the White Sox. The fact that the White Sox have an offer on the table, have had an offer on the table, no one else has a reported offer on the table, and he's not signed, tells me a lot. He's waiting for somebody else. If the offer was right, which it seems to be right, it's about $32 million per.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some outs before that. What are you waiting for? What, I mean, you waiting for the Yankees to come through? You waiting for this mystery team to get their money to pony up? You waiting for the Phillies to make the decision if they want you or they want Bryce Harper? If he was really serious about the White Sox, it seems like it's going to be, oh, Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies. And Manny Machado has to sign with the White Sox because that's the only deal left.
Right. That there then is no market for Manny Machado outside of the White Sox.
Hopefully, if he does sign, that White Sox deal sounds like a reasonable deal. It sounds more than reasonable. They're going above and beyond what I thought they would. So if they sign him, man, it'll be so great. They're not going to win the division next year, but I'll gladly eat my words on him on poo-pooing the whole Sox front office and their effort to get him.
Tony, let's try something. So after, like, Herbie answers the question, let's throw Layla back in there. All right? So I'll cue you. So he just finished answering the question about the White Sox and Manny Machado. So now we go.
Ask Herb.
I'm classy, bro.
Fine. I'm good with that, too.
I got one from Lindsey Wilhite.
Our man at the Wolves.
Yeah.
What did he ask?
How much do you care, if at all, about whether our players on your team our favorite team are good citizens, and can they bring you a title? Or if they can bring you a title? I care about winning correctly. I care about doing it the right way, if that's what you're saying you are about. College, I say I want the Illini to start cheating like the other teams, but also I want them to win the correct way. I want them to, you know, not take that championship away 10 years from now. Not for it to be sullied 20 years from now. I want that to be, hey, they were the best team. Lovey and them recruited well. Brad Underwood and them recruited well. And they got the players because they worked hard, not because they're paying some dude. I mean, it feels like, do you feel, you know that Alabama cheats, but also.
Watch it, Herb.
You know that they cheat, but. Do you feel good when they win a championship?
I feel great.
Exactly.
Tony, don't you feel great when Alabama wins? Awesome. Yeah. It's really awesome.
Yeah,
it feels wonderful.
Feels great. But deep down inside of you, like, we got these players on tour. But you feel good because you know that Nick Saban didn't have anything to do with it. And I put those in heavy quotes.
That he's not the bag man?
Yeah, he's 12 or 15 guys away from the guy who's actually giving money to these people.
I don't know that any of that is true.
Okay.
I think that Alabama is a machine, and they have built up a great machine, and they don't have to cheat. People want to come to Alabama.
I think it was said best.
Hashtag Roll Tide!
It was said best by Greg Gabriel. You're talking about actual character, like everyday walking around character, or football or basketball character.
Or baseball. And that's what I wish the teams would do that. Just talk to me about locker room character, or whatever you think that means. Don't try to make some guy out to be like he's good in the community when you know he's not.
I would love for my team to be all Boy Scouts, but I know that's not true. And as long as a person has some act of contrition and has done some type of recompense, I'm good with a second or third chance. But ask for it. Don't just give it to him. Ask for it and earn it.
Ask Herb.
Ken Davis is there in the studio, and he has a question.
Uh-oh.
Herbie, listen, anybody that follows you, you definitely have a large following on social media. And the one, the only Tevin Campbell followed you and you were joyous. My question is, great, at what age did you realize Tevin Campbell made you moist? But wow. One last thing.
Wow.
Because Tony told me something. I agree with you on the Tim Tebow and the inexperience in the bedroom. I'm done.
I mean, that was true. I don't know what that was the question. I mean.
Wow.
When did Tevin Campbell make you moist?
I was going to say, perhaps maybe
I understood the question.
Perhaps maybe not worded that way.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. Like, there's a way to ask the question without asking it that way.
Ken, break it down.
Wow. All right. Well, that'll about do it for Ask Herb this week.
This like, 12 people got that.
They were ready.
Nice. Nice.
If you want to follow, how can people follow you on social media?
ActonWall23 on both, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat.
You still on Facebook?
I am. I don't know why. I am.
Tony, you still on Facebook?
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away from Facebook. I don't need it. It's just Facebook, they have all my pictures since like high school. They basically control my life. So
you got to figure out, you got to go on the mobile app and just start downloading all of your pictures so that you have them.
And the funny thing about it, they give you those memories. Yeah, we still got you. We still own you. We know how you grew up.
Okay. Ken, you still on Facebook?
Yeah, but the funny part is I basically really just joined 2.5 years ago.
Seriously? Because of the show. Okay. You're probably a smart man in that regard. That actually makes a lot more sense. Herbie, thank you as always.
Thank you.
A great, great episode of Ask Herb that ended abruptly. Thanks to the Dee and Davis show.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks a lot, Ken. We'll come back.
Talking about my guy, Tevin Campbell.
He's saying goodbye. To this segment right now. When we come back,
confused.
Stop it. We'll talk with Dave Lato, the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons. Why? Blue Demons are 10-5 and on a 2-game win streak in the Big East. They just beat number 24 St. John's this past weekend. We'll talk with Dave about that next here on The Score.
Aaron holds the ball, waist high, gives right side now for Clark, who had the ball stolen away by Olujimi, straight down the lane, a right-handed jam. Welcome home, Femi Olujimi.
Our guy, Zach Zaitman, on the call. Sure, that was fun for Zach. He grew up feet away from Carneseca Arena. And DePaul helped to salvage my Saturday of sports watching. As I was laying there dealing with this sinus infection, watching what was bad football, I look up and I see I'm following on Twitter. I'm like, oh, yeah, DePaul's game is a little bit later. I check in and the Demons are rolling. I watch all the second half and they go on the road and they beat number 24 St. John's 79-71. And folks, it wasn't that close. Blue Demons are now 10-5, 2-2 in the Big East. 2-game win streak going for 3 tomorrow against Butler. So we thought that we would have Dave Lato jump back on the show and talk about it. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, Lawrence. How you feeling? The sinus infection, that's not too good.
No, it's not great, especially when you do what I do for a living. You can't talk and all sorts of stuff, but it's better. And I will say that part of the reason that my voice was strained is because I was yelling in the last 6 minutes of the game against St. John's on Saturday in my basement. My wife actually has video of it. At some point, we will release it. But I was really excited about what happened against St. John's. DePaul scoring 48 points in the second half. What went right for you guys to get the win against St. John's?
Well, you know, a lot of things have to happen, especially on the road. I know it's going to win, and so from our standpoint, you know, we thought, and we talked about at halftime, that we didn't put our best foot forward and didn't play the kind of game, particularly on offense, that we had planned to do in 3 previous days as we were getting ready for it. So we made a couple of adjustments, and then our defense was really good. You know, obviously we had geared towards playing not only a team that shoots the ball very well from the perimeter, but having to guard Ponce in a lot of different situations. And without him, we had to make some in-game adjustments, but at the same point in time, I thought we were pretty sound in that second half defensively. And any time you do that, it leads to offensive confidence. I thought we did a really good job both early and late going inside. And you know, Paul and Femi were the beneficiaries of that. We attacked the glass pretty well, especially on our defensive backboards. And then we got contributions, you know, across the board, not just from those two guys. So you know, all around, I thought it was very pleasing, and guys were growing, especially in their confidence as the game was going on, and hopefully that will continue into the next game.
Femi Olugbe, with 27 points and 8 rebounds, shot 11 of 19 from the floor. How has he changed the way your offense works? Because now you can work inside out if you want.
Yeah, and we've been preaching all year long, you know, to play a very even game where the ball changes the size of the floor a lot. It goes inside a lot. It comes back outside. And, you know, we hadn't got to the point where that rhythm was consistent. You know, we were relying on Max and relying on Eli to be at the forefront of what we do. And they still are. But understanding that when the ball is shared, you know, whomever or wherever the ball ends up, when you have an advantage, that's what we're going to go with. And it just so happened in this game that Femi was the beneficiary of that. And so the more, especially he scored early, the first two baskets of the game, he grew in his confidence. The guys around him were very confident in giving him the basketball. And he had a size and bulk advantage. And so that was part of the game plan. And if they had doubled or did something different, he would have been just as comfortable passing it back out and getting somebody else open. But we were able to continue to go to him. And, you know, he made a lot of shots, got to the foul line as well, and it worked out well for us.
I've been trying to figure out since the season started why I like his game so much. And it occurred to me against Northwestern, and it was kind of reinforced against St. John's. It's weird to see young guys play with their back to the basket. Like, it's a game now where you see a lot of big guys on the perimeter. He seems really comfortable in the paint, getting the ball off a bounce pass.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think we've had this discussion before about positionless players and, you know, lack of big guys that were traditional in nature. And he's not 100%. I mean, he likes to face the basket. He can shoot the ball from the perimeter and you know, make decisions that way too. But at 6'8", 6'8 and a half, and 255 pounds, his ability to use his bulk to his advantage and then have a really soft touch is really valuable for him and ultimately valuable for us. So we're a little bit more traditional right now because of it, where we can go down low to not only Femi, but to Paul and to Jalen Butts. We put sometimes, because of our size advantages, with Max down there in the low post. We can put Eli down there in low post and kind of play inside out, which I think, you know, when you talk about defensive structure, becomes a little bit of an advantage because now you're playing against closeouts when and if the ball comes out of there. But Femi is a guy that is comfortable down there, and I think because, you know, we noticed it last year when we were watching film, you know, trying to get a look at him and the possibility of recruiting him, that he's a guy that has a really good soft touch to be such a big man.
Talking with DePaul head coach Dave Lato here on The Score. Blue Demons coming off a win at number 24 St. John's. So there's two in a row in Big East play after the win against Seton Hall. The Blue Demons will take on Butler tomorrow at Wintrust Arena. Tip time is 7:30 if you want to go check it out. So it's been, 4 years since three in a row in the Big East. And you have the opportunity for that tomorrow. How do you go about acknowledging the success that the guys have had in the previous two games and the close loss of Villanova and not allowing them to look too far ahead at the same time? That's a difficult balance.
Yeah, but you know what? We've talked a lot about both sides of the coin all throughout the course of the season and handling ourselves the same way regardless of what we're going through. You know, we had a two-game losing streak, and now a two-game winning streak. And really, we have to look at it like nothing's changed. We're just getting ready for the next day and the next challenge. And Butler presents that on Wednesday night. So we talked about it after the game on Saturday. You know, what we've tried to do, I'll let you in on a little bit of a secret. I don't think anybody's listening, right? Just you and I talking.
Yeah, just us.
But we've broken each day during the season into 193 different parts. And so today's was 133 out of that. We concentrate just on that, not yesterday and what happened plus or minus, or not tomorrow and what we got to do. And when we wake up tomorrow, it'll be 134. And if we continue to stay with that methodology, then hopefully our mindset is focused on that moment as opposed to looking ahead or anything that can happen in terms of what you mentioned earlier about winning our last game or any win streaks. We're trying to do, and Coach Bruno has taught me this, you know, years ago. We're trying to go 1-0 every game in
And if we can do that, then we can easier focus on the task at hand. And that's exactly what we have to do that. We have no other choice but to do that.
What type of challenge does Butler present?
There's this thing called the Butler way.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this about, you know, a lot of other programs that you play against good players, and they have a team full of good players. They've got a really good team, but you're playing against their program where they're regimented and doing things every day a certain way. And so the way they run their offense, they have, you know, a tremendous player in Kamara Baldwin that's got to be stopped. He's got to have a lot of eyes on him, and he's around him. You're surrounded with a lot of really, really good skilled players on the perimeter, and say shoot the ball on any given night very, very well, whether it's McDermott or Jorgensen or Tucker, you know, Badley. All those guys can shoot, and then they have a really decent low post game too. So their variety is formidable. It's led by one guy that can make a difference on his own. So it has caused us a lot of time and effort to try to put together a game plan defensively to kind of limit what they do. And then, you know, offensively, we've got to continue to do the things that have been working for us, which is, you know, simply put, just keep spreading the ball around, put it inside, play inside out, take advantage of some mismatches here and there, and be efficient on the backboard.
It's a weird place for Butler to be because you don't really usually see them as a team that's on a losing streak, but they're on a road streak and a losing streak right now. So how do you impress upon the guys to just focus on the day and try to keep them in the misery that they're in?
Yeah, and you do it with certain examples, and you do it, you know, by razor sharp focus on the task at hand. And, you know, they're coming off of 2 1-point losses on the road. So, you know, I always say to the guys, you are what your record says you are. And right now they're 1-3, which I'm sure upsets them. So we're going to get their best punch. Same point in time, they could easily be 3-1 if, you know, ball bounced one way or another in any one of those two games. So we understand how good they are. We understand how dangerous they are on both ends of the floor. And, you know, hopefully that means that we've got everybody on our team's attention, because it's going to be as typical a Big East battle as we've seen all year long, where it's been, you know, one possession here, one possession there, deciding games.
For you, is it nice to just have a little bit of a break? And I know we talked about the schedule last time that you were on, but to have a home game in the middle of winning a couple of games has to feel pretty good considering what the rest of the month looks like for you.
Yeah, and I think if you ask any coach, you'd like to play every game at home, and maybe at the top of that list. And so anytime you play where there's a little bit of extra added level of comfort, that's there. But, you know, again, I think in this league it doesn't matter. There's teams on the road winning games just as much as teams at home winning games. So you've got to, you know, do as best you can to protect your home court. We're going to try to do that. I think the crowd will be energized. Our guys will be ready to go. And hopefully, as you said, because we're on the road a lot this month, that we can protect our home court that way.
How have the guys been able to react to what were some close losses to push back and get the win against Seton Hall, which was huge, and then this win against St. John's on the road?
I think, you know, because of how we've been playing, whether we've won or lost, they've maintained a level of confidence. You know, as I've said all along and continue to say, you know, maybe it won't hold true the rest of the season, but thus far it's been that way. And, you know, at 10-5, we've had 14 games where, you know, deep into the second half, we've had a lead. And so we've either won those games and then there's been those few that we've given up a lead. And so, except for that second half against Notre Dame, we've played pretty well on a pretty consistent basis. And what we're doing is trying to learn how to finish. And, you know, hopefully that means we'll continue to do that, you know, throughout the course of the season. But we still have a lot of room to grow to get to that point physically, which will add to our you know, psychological confidence.
Dave, do you mind if we take a call from a fan?
Not at all.
All right, let's go out to St. Charles and talk with Ron. Hey, Ron, you're on with Dave Lato.
Hey, Lawrence, great to talk to you. Glad we've got a couple of DePaul grads on this phone line. Hey, Coach Dave, excited with the last two wins, excited where we're at in the season. Love the fact that we're doing all the scoring inside the majority of our points, particularly the last two games. What kind of team, Coach, would keep us from continuing on that model of scoring the majority of our points inside?
Well, you know, some teams will have a big skyscraper that can defend the post one-on-one run, and I don't know, you know, there's a lot of those guys across the Big East, but, you know, I think there's, when you put multiple people around the ball in the post, and, you know, at some point we're going to get double-teamed and those kinds of
tricks that coaches will adjust to. That will challenge us. But I think, you know, what we've tried to do is send a message all along that if you are drawing a second defender, then don't be afraid to share that basketball. And if we can kick out, move the ball around, then all of a sudden Max and Eli get a little bit more attention than they've got last game or last couple of games. And, you know, for so long it's been our success had to come from the perimeter. And now, in the last couple of games, it's come on the interior. But it doesn't mean that we're still not formidable or dangerous when it comes to perimeter play, especially with Max and Eli, as I mentioned. So I think that's coming. It may come as early as tomorrow or down the road that somebody's going to do their best to kind of stop a guy in the post one-on-one. And we've got to be ready for, you know, any trick defenses or double teams coming our way.
Dave, thanks so much for jumping on. I know this is kind of like we threw this together quick, but I wanted to strike while the iron was hot with DePaul coming off a big win against a top 25 team on the road. Thanks so much for joining me. Good luck against Butler tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Lawrence. Always a pleasure with you, my man.
That is Dave Lato, the head coach of the Blue Demons. If you want to go see the game tomorrow, it's at Wintrust Arena. If you haven't been, I love that place. 773-325-SLAM. I don't know. We'll see how I feel tomorrow. Maybe I'll go if I feel okay. I probably won't. But this show has gone all right so far, which is great. By the way, new House of L episode drops later on tonight with my man Joe Ostrowski. We need to take a break. Back after this on The Score. Bulls basketball is coming up at 9:15. Steve Cashel was already in the building. Notice that he didn't bring fries for everybody. Thanks a lot, Cash. Appreciate that. But I was glad I got the chance to talk with Dave. It's actually a lot of fun for me on Saturday. As I'm sitting there, you know, under the heated blanket in the basement, watching bad football, and then I'm like, yes, DePaul is actually winning a game. They're winning a game against a top 20. You know how long it's been since they won against like a top 25 opponent?
On the road, too.
That was impressive. And they've been so close in games this year. I mean, one could make the argument that they should be 12-3 right now.
Yeah, they definitely should have won the Northwestern game.
That one, that's a killer. But here's how I look at it. You know me, I'm a DePaul fan, so I'm not greedy. Go 5-9 the rest of the way. 5-9, and you play postseason basketball. What if I told you that right now DePaul was the best team in the state? Give me your contender.
Loyola?
Okay. They're definitely in the conversation. Not as good as last year, but pretty good.
Not Northwestern.
Even though Northwestern beat DePaul, I still am going to roll with the Blue Demons on this one. Illinois?
No, hell no. They're terrible.
If you line DePaul up against ISU, do they win?
I don't know how good ISU is.
They're not as good as I thought they'd be, but to me, it comes down to the Valley Tournament. I think that we'll see a rematch of this weekend between Loyola and Illinois State in the Valley Final. I still need to get down there. I promised Coach Dan that I'm going to come see a game at ISU. I need to do that. It's a fun game Saturday. If the game wasn't up against NFL games, kind of, because by the time I got there and then got back, I would have gone. Those tickets were going for a lot of money, too.
Then Chicago/Illinois needs to do the same thing that Indiana and Iowa do, where
Philadelphia too,
the top,
the Big Five,
yeah, the top four teams in Indiana play a round robin tournament or a round robin each year, and then Iowa plays Iowa State, and the other one plays Drake, or Drake plays UNI, something like that.
How do you get a basketball team?
I don't know, man.
Along with a Queen Latifah song.
The man's talented. And then he puts on that Alabama shirt.
He does.
L.
Or or the Kentucky shirt and Big L's happen.
I saw it. I saw that pic because I follow him on Instagram. And that's the first thing I yelled out was no.
Of course, Tony. That's exactly what was going to happen. Drake cursed your team. Welcome to the Alabama Raptors.
Like, wouldn't it be so great if you had Loyola versus DePaul, Illinois versus ISU, somewhere neutral?
Well, I'm down. I actually like the idea of the home and home, and they used to do that. I want to see Loyola, DePaul at Wintrust and then up at the Gentile. And I would love for Coach Dan to come up to Chicago. But you know how it is. Everyone is worried about their fiefdom. Everyone is worried about, well, if we lose, it's going to look bad for recruits. And I say bully to that. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. See? Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena. By the way, I've been there. It's awesome. You should go see a game. And Loyola just beat Valpo. Guess we're not having Matt Lodich on anytime soon. Single-game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. I think every basketball fan here would love to see, like, an event. It doesn't have to be a tournament. It can just be at the United Center. DePaul's going to play Loyola, and Illinois is going to play UIC. Oh, wait a minute.
Nah, not anymore. Never again.
Never again?
Nope.
Never again? Illinois is going to play Illinois State.
I'm good for it.
I'd be down for that. Do a triple header. Have UIC play Chicago State. Or Valpo. They're not in the same conference anymore. Do that.
Northwestern play Chicago State.
Northwestern plays UIC. Let's do that. So DePaul, Loyola, Illinois State, Illinois, Northwestern, UIC. Six teams, one afternoon / evening, and we're out. That's the way to go. All right. Some bear stuff on the other side of a break. You're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.